It's 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. It is early morning in China, where Secretary of State Antony Blinken continues high-profile but somewhat low-expectation talks on currently pretty shaky U.S.-Chinese relations. CBS's Margaret Brennan is also there.
After months of giving the U.S. the cold shoulder, this opening from Beijing may signal an interest in reducing friction, at least on the financial front. The U.S. and Chinese economies are so intertwined. On Monday, Secretary Blinken will meet with a top party official who oversees foreign policy. And if all goes well, he may get a face-to-face with President Xi Jinping.
In Europe, the United Nations says Russia's blocking access to areas under its temporary military control after that huge dam burst earlier this month, unleashing floodwaters, cutting off supplies to civilians. Now, reaction from former high Trump administration officials to this past week's arraignment of the ex-president in Florida. First, ex-Vice President Mike Pence on NBC.
I had hoped that the Department of Justice would see its way clear to resolve this issue short of criminal charges.
But on CBS's Face the Nation, ex-Attorney General Bill Barr did not see how.
The legal theory by which he gets to take battle plans and sensitive national security information as his personal papers is absurd. It's just as wacky as the legal doctrine they came up with for, you know, having the vice president unilaterally determine who won the election.
On the Weather Watch, hot and hotter from the southwest to the southeast, Marty Roush with the National Weather Service.
Highs in Louisiana will be in the 90s, and then southern western Texas in particular with highs 100 to 110. And this is going to lead to max heat indices in the 110 to 120 range.
Illinois police report at least one person dead, at least 19 others wounded in a shooting in a parking lot in the village of Willowbrook near Chicago. Police say a crowd had gathered for a party when that shooting occurred. Sheriff's Deputy Chief Eric Swanson.
This incident is being investigated by the DuPage County Sheriff's Office in Merritt. Merritt is the Metropolitan Emergency Response Investigations Team, and they have a major crimes component, and they are conducting the investigation into this matter.
There were other fatal mass shootings in St. Louis and in Washington State. On the Health Watch, a warning from Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
There's a dire drug shortage hitting New York and the nation right now. From cancer drugs to everyday generics that deal with things like ADHD and asthma and even common infections, they're out of stock.
No tsunami warnings, but there has been a pretty strong earthquake in the Baja California part of Mexico. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
Start your engines, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm really digging Nate Smith's debut album. Not only did he release a debut album, but he took a chance, something that I don't think has ever been done before, and released a deluxe version as well. If you like the song Whiskey on You, you're going to love this entire album. It's available wherever you buy or stream music. 1 in 4 car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced. Let the professional parts people test your battery for free at O'ReillyAutoParts.com.
Making an Impact, sponsored by Granger. You normally see action hero Arnold Schwarzenegger fighting bad guys on the big screen, but now he has a new foe to take down.
And really tell people, you're talking about pollution. Pollution creates climate change, and pollution kills.
For the ones who get it done, Granger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call, click Granger.com. Or just stop by.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to 3 different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
All into Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com. Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies tonight with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 59. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 85. Lows level off around 58. Tomorrow night, clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 78.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this June 18th session, something, something or another. We're not going to keep track just because that's part of the bit now.
It's part of the bit, yeah.
Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager.
Welcome, everyone. We have a very fun guest. He was on one of our first shows.
Yes.
With Director's Cut. And we get to bring him back here.
We have with us Timothy James Young, Executive Director of Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Mr. Timothy... No, I can't do it.
That's like my stage name, man.
I tried to stick it. I couldn't stick the landing. Tim, it is so good to see you, brother. How you doing?
Doing awesome. I'm so glad to be back.
We are going to have some fun today. Tim is joining us as not only Executive Director of WRCT, but also as a good friend of Seth and I. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into a little bit more of that in kind of the second half of our show. For right now, let's do business. Let's get that out of the way so we can have fun later. I want to talk both seasons with you, Tim.
Sure.
This past season, 2021, 2022, or 2022-2023.
Yes.
And 2023-2024. Preview a little bit of the next year. So first off, how did you feel the year went?
Oh my gosh, this past season blew away expectations. Because keep in mind, we're still kind of crawling out of this pandemic. And budgeting and trying to put together a business plan at the beginning of this last season was difficult because we weren't sure if people were still kind of hiding out or if they were ready to get out and go see shows back to the way they were, you know, the activity before the pandemic. And we started the season out by selling about 155% season tickets, mm-hmm. which should have been an indicator it was going to be a good year. Mm-hmm. Against the season tickets that we sold prior to the pandemic and the cancellation of Cabaret and that stuff in March of 2020.
Ooh, that stings.
I know. James was going to be in that show, and we still talk about that. That hurts, but that's still on your bucket list.
Yes.
But in terms of individual show, like revenue and ticket sales, all that kind of stuff, it just blew away. And in this final show of the season, The Curious Savage, a show that most patrons were asking about at the beginning of the year. You know, I know Miracle on 34th Street. I know The Odd Couple. I know Streetcar Named Desire. But what's this Curious Savage all about? And, you know, I say that because it's the most recent main stage. But in my opinion, I'll give you my opinion. I think that was the show of the season, man. I think it finished off the season, and I think it might have been the best show of the season. They were all incredible. I was in one of them with the guy sitting across from me.
That's true. Right. Yes, you were. Yeah.
But that was a great show. That blew away expectations in terms of revenue, ticket sales, all that kind of stuff. But that final show just had something special about it to end the season and give us the momentum I think we needed going into our current season ticket sales drive for 2023-24.
I think having been in this company for so long and done a show of every season now, to be fair, I've only done one Christmas production. Mm-hmm. But now having done that and done one of each, I'm always looking for ways to motivate myself. I'm always looking for things that are fun about each one and unique. And when you get to kick off the season, like you're a part of, I can't think of anything else off the top of my head, but like Baskerville.
that rings a bell. So.
Yeah.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
I feel like you set the tone for the year. I feel like you have an opportunity, like the conductor in a band or our lead singer in a band to set the tempo, or I should actually say more of the percussion in the band or something and setting the tempo and everything for the rest of the song or even the night. Right. If you do it right.
I think in right. that middle show, you have a you have that usually your seasonal show, your Christmas show, which has yep. its own spirit to it, literally.
Right.
But that third show could be a little bit more dicey, a little more sure. unique, and I think you can find fun parts of that. That right. last show of the season. Sometimes you don't always have as much many people auditioning as you always do.
Right.
So you all the more, I think, need to send it off on a good note. Send the season off and wrap up the season on a good note. I feel like there's even more of a responsibility almost to, God, we got a right. couple months here before our main stage has something again. Let's mm-hmm. leave them wanting more.
Absolutely.
Let's leave them wanting. Let's make sure that that first show of the season is sold out. And it's just, whether you do Definitely. That or not or anything, it's just one of those motivators, but it's a fun part of it. I see what you're saying about the final show, because
yeah.
it can have that, if it's a good show, it already has that going for it.
Right.
All they got to do is just do their job, and they sure did, man. The Curious Savage was great.
It was incredible. And the kicker of the whole thing was Stephanie Hirth. Everybody knows yeah, Stephanie yeah. Hirth. Stephanie's been directing our youth summer program for 12, 14 years. And we sat down one day and I just looked at her and I said, when are you going to put in to direct a main stage production? I go, you're awesome. I've seen her youth productions. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is main stage vision.
Yeah.
You know, everything she does is main stage vision, in my opinion. And like all of us, you know, I think I can speak for almost all of us. We all have confidence, but there's also times we question ourselves, like, am I ready? Can I play this? Am I capable?
Are you saying that actors have insecurities, Tim?
Is no,
that
what you're saying? Stop picking on me.
Why are you guys talking about insecurities? You think I'm insecure? Well, why would you go that way? Why would you bring that up? I don't understand what's going on right now. This is crazy. I thought I was asking the questions here.
Do I smell okay, guys? Is everything? Do I look okay?
I was wondering about my hair earlier.
So Stephanie, I didn't, you know, she's like, oh, thank you for the compliment and everything. And shortly after, she suggests that we do a show called The Curious Savage. Just so happens to be a bucket list show. I believe she was in it, but she always wanted to direct it and felt it would be best presented as a main stage production. And so as a place selection committee, we voted on that as being one of the productions. And Stephanie, you know, put in for it, and there were several other directors. And I can tell you, the other directors that put in for The Curious Savage, once they heard Stephanie was also interested, they removed themselves to give her the open lane to do that show without even knowing that she put the show in. They just wanted Stephanie. And did we all get the kind of the goosebumps and the good feeling? And that's what theater's all about, is supporting and, you know, helping and providing for each other. Mm-hmm. And that's
well said.
That was it was awesome. So it was meant to be. And I told her early on, I felt it. I don't know why I felt it, but it was like, this is going to steal the season. I told her before she had auditions, I think your show is going to steal the season. And I think it did. I really do. I think
the Odd Couple kick things
yeah.
off.
Mm-hmm.
And you two, again, as you touched on there, Tim, you guys star in that one, have a great cast in that one, nothing but yep. stars in that one.
Yeah.
Really set the tone, really went well. Now that you had some time removed from it and had a chance to kind of sit with it, these characters and a little bit of it more, how did you guys feel that run went and to kick off these show, the kick off the season? And did you feel any of what I was touching on before about, hey, we want to set the tone here, let's get the beat right?
Mm-hmm.
Or were you James Browning yourselves? We're not going to go until this is right.
Are you talking about back to the beginning of the season with the Odd Couple? Mm-hmm. That's Seth and Seth Oscar Madison and Tim, myself, Felix Unger.
Yes.
You know how I felt about it. I feel about every show, especially getting cast in a large part. What I realized is that I really am Felix Unger. You know, I am that neurotic, perfectionistic, insecure, crazy person. And I think Seth really is that laid back, cool, collected, can handle
total
pretty
slob,
much anything.
You know,
I never saw that part because you always look too good for Oscar. I was always like, can you like throw a dirty sweatshirt on or something?
I know, I kind of did.
But any easier working with him?
Yeah, but I mean, looks good. Seth came in a little bit late to the game, and he had more lines than my character. And I, you know, I do this Felix Unger style of counting lines and dividing by the weeks before I have to be off book, and then panicking.
That's insane, man.
And Seth looks at me, he's like, "Why do you do that? Just learn your lines. Everything's going to be. It always works out." And I'm like, "How can you be like that?" And so I think the casting of The Odd Couple was good with the two main parts, because I think we both were able to comfortably fit into those characters. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to play a character that you're completely, like you were talking about Rumors, know that character that you played in Rumors. But this one, I felt like I could just be myself, but a lot more of myself, you know?
And take it a little further, a little more exaggerated kind of thing.
Yeah, a little more animated, a little more exaggerated for laughs and things like that. But it was a pleasure working on that production. Mm-hmm. I think that again, you know, when you do the business part of things, the boring part of things, when you have to, but we have to pay bills and we have to come up with dollars to pay some of our artists behind the scenes and things like that. So you have to kind of get an idea of what you think you might be working with dollar wise. Mm-hmm. But that again, for the fall show, looking back historically, you got to look at like historical numbers to try to predict future numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, because like in Wisconsin, I mean, you talked about the winter show before, that people are snowbirds. In the winter, your audiences, you know, shrink down a little bit in that winter, March, February slot. But the fall show started the year by blowing away the projection for ticket sales and raffle income and all those concession sales, all those types of things. And I want to say that the second week did really well because they heard after the couple first week performances that it was a decent show. So
we didn't completely mess it up. In other words,
we didn't completely
like, hey, they didn't mess it up. Let's go see them. Yeah,
exactly.
How about for you, Seth?
Oh, for me, you know, it was an interesting show in terms of, you know, I did come in a little bit late. I mean, I still had plenty of time to get everything down, you know, that kind of thing. But so I was really, for the, you know, first month or so, I was kind of concerned about the number of lines and everything. Basically because of the way Gretchen Powers, the director, did a wonderful job with it. Yeah. And she, the way they designed it is that there's only two times that Oscar's not on stage, the very beginning, and there's a section in the middle. Yeah. But they put the kitchen on stage, so I had to hide the two times. I'm technically off stage. I'm still on stage. You just can't see me, which was a very new experience for me too. That kind of thing. But when we got into like the 2 weeks before the show, or maybe even going into Tech Week, we got to a point where I have never been so comfortable on stage. And a lot of that had to do with the chemistry that Tim and I had together. Because, you know, it's just the two of us on stage for a big chunk of that play.
Yes.
And the trust that we had with each other. And for whatever reason, I went out every night. And, you know, you get the jitters before you go out and everything. Yeah. But it was almost like, this is going to be a good show.
Right.
Everything's going to go good. It never went perfectly, of course. But it didn't matter because I knew it was going to be good. And that's a great feeling when you're an actor to go into something like that. So
I agree. I agree with that.
That vibe was noticeable, and it was felt, I think, with reverbs throughout the whole year. And everything you both were both glowing over with The Curious Savage, I think you can, I'm not saying credit is really the right word here or anything, but I think you can take some pride in that and some feel some good in that because of that tone being set. And you just have that with community theater that I don't think you always get with professional theater. Being a part of a lot of pro productions, it's great. People show up on time. You have really A-list talent, all this stuff, but there is no heart. There is. I've been part of these incredible performances where I'm working with these really, really talented people that I don't know how I'm on stage with. And we get done and everybody bows. And literally the curtain, before it is shut, people are having their makeup off and they are booking. They are going. And they got lives. And I get it. I mean, we're there to do a job. We're not there to make friends. I understand that. But when you are so in love with this craft and this gig that we all get to do for a life and everything, I want to experience the whole part of it. I did the pro thing for too long in community theater when I should have been and everything. And now that I am doing it that way, I find that, oh, yeah, man, I, I, I want more of that in my life. Right. I care more about that. And I think, again, it shows in all those things. A Miracle was fantastic. Did great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I mention one thing about Miracle on 34th
please,
Street?
Yeah.
So Miracle on 34th Street, you have to find a Santa Claus. I mean, you have to find a Chris.
Yep.
You have to find the guy.
So right.
And we struggled. There was some concern that are we going to find the lead? Are we going to find the guy? And then a guy that we all know. Okay, so we all, you know, Chris Kringle or Santa Claus. He's got a kind of a little likability about him.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's
kind of a trustworthy, likable, soft, confident, heartwarming human being. And so when you cast that particular role, I don't know if that role you can go find anybody that's completely the opposite and say, okay, good, we got our Santa Claus. We needed to find a person that was like Santa Claus to play Chris in A Miracle on 34th Street. And we didn't have that person. The person came to auditions late. And if he listens to this, he comes late to a lot of things. But when he gets there, he's there and gets along with everybody. Everybody loves the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Williams.
Yes.
Shows up for auditions the first night, gets there late, goes, okay, maybe I'll go tomorrow night. They're still looking for their Chris. Came the second night, fell into place, and I heard at Rotary Club meetings afterwards, people talking about, where did you find that guy? Because he was so, well, that's because he is that guy.
Right.
He is Santa Claus kind of a guy. Mm-hmm. So, God bless us, everyone. We found Chris for Miracle on 34th Street, and it worked out great.
Am I correct? Was Chris in every single show this year?
Yeah, well, I was going to go into that next.
I was going to say kudos to him, man. That's not an easy thing to do.
I've done that.
Oh, have you?
Have you done that?
A couple times.
I don't think I've ever done that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chris was in every show, including directing and casting, being cast in the Silver Fox's old time radio show.
That's right.
At this, basically, Thanksgiving was going on. That was our October. No, it was our not Thanksgiving. It was our right around Halloween was that old time radio show.
Mm-hmm.
But the process for Miracle had already started, and so he was in that as well. So yeah, he's taking a little break.
Good, I hope so.
And he got pulled into Streetcar Named Desire 3 days before opening. Mm-hmm. To take on a part of Steve Hubbell, the upstairs neighbor, with a chunk of lines, and we figured out a way to help him get through that process. But he was one of the most valuable players last year.
Yeah.
Another great production as well. And because of time sensitivity, I want to keep moving this on because I want to talk about next season and everything. But I do want to take a moment to send a shout out to the other shows that happened last season, including this one, All the Ways to Say I Love You, directed by a friend of yours, I believe.
Michael Laskowski from Appleton, Wisconsin, came over and guest directed last season with WRCT, which
great
is
guy.
Amazing.
Great guy. Good guy. Facebook
wonderful
friend.
Wonderful human being.
Good guy. Awesome. He's a really nice guy. This Melissa Kay, who I've heard nothing but great things about.
Name rings a bell.
Really thought this young lady really impressed me.
Yeah.
I just had to make a note of that because I loved Melissa's performance and her, brilliant. Of course, and really, really. And just as much, and I think Melissa would want this said too, the opportunity for her to have that performance, the opportunity for her to be able to do that. We'll get more into that a little bit later, but that opportunity is something that WRCT has been trying to meld and work that I think their current executive really got right. Yeah. And I want to touch on that too in our second half of the show.
Sounds good.
Is this a break, Seth? Yeah, this is a break. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun here on Director's Cut.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186.
All in two rings, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTW Lawyers.com.
Welcome back to Director's Cut here at WFHR. I have your host, James J. I am joined by our other host, Seth Habhager, and we are joined by our good friend of ours, Tim Young, Executive Director with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Before we move on to the upcoming season, Tim, we did want to mention a handful of other things that went on last year.
Oh, so many wonderful things. Another director's showcase. We talked about all the ways with Melissa and Michael, that collaboration. But then we also had Mystique McCumber and Moselle, Logan, and Wren gave us their take on Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf in the director's showcase in the studio theater, which seats about 50. And I think we came close to selling out every night. But that was a three-hour, three-act performance our intimate studio. It's like being in the living room.
Yes.
Inside that house where the action's going on. Mm-hmm. So that was great. Our Silver Foxes had a great season. Had a couple of productions. One had to be canceled due to illness. But we had hopefully I'm not forgetting anything. And if I am, I apologize.
No, I don't think
you are. We had a wonderful main stage. Started off with the Walking Dwarves that was directed by Stephanie Hirth. To start the season in July. Mm-hmm. And we always forget about that because it falls right on the end of the business in the year and beginning of the next season. It's kind of a weird spot where that summer youth is. But Walking Dwarves was great. All four main stages were great. The two director showcases and the two Silver Foxes shows. And we had a Halloween dance party. First
that was
ever
the one I was gonna...
that we had sponsored by Solaris. And it was it went really great. It was fun. It was awesome. So we had had a phenomenal season last season.
And just this past week wrapped up with the Silver Foxes a great show that I know I had a couple of people tell me they really, really enjoyed.
Oh, it was incredible. Directed by Penny Weiss. Penny's played Patty in Curious Savage. So she was also kind of directing a show while starring in a show on the main stage with her son, Jeff Friday, who Jeff has become, one of our key on and off stage participants over at the theater. He's a huge asset. But Penny Weiss directed this past Silver Foxes show, and it was amazing. It again, I keep saying this, but it blew away the projection for what we thought ticket sales were going to be. I'm not sure what's happening. But everybody's like found the theater, and it's
as long as it doesn't stop.
It's amazing.
A big shout out to the Silver Foxes and the great job with the Fairy Tale Courtroom.
Yes.
Nice work, very
Fairy
nice
Tale
work
Courtroom
by them.
Excellent.
And appreciate that. Appreciate them so much doing this, and a good shout out to the Hopo Productions as well. We will touch on them as we're wrapping, we're getting into next season. I do want to touch on I think that's a good place to start because it really is kind of a kickoff of the WRCT season in the summer with the youth summer production and the Hopo production. These are both great opportunities for kids that I know that the three of us would have killed for when we were kids. I would have given anything. I would, again, one of Seth and I's favorite lines, wasting a time machine. I would waste a time machine to go back and play in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
100%.
In a heartbeat I would do
100%.
That. 100%. That is coming up this summer, of course, as well as Toasted, the Hopo production. That is really cool that these are all coming up. I know July's are actually, auditions are going on today for these and stuff, which doesn't make sense because you're going to be hearing this on Sunday. But, it is one of those habits that we have here. But I'm really excited for this new, not only this new season, but this new batch of kids or returning kids or anything like that, that hopefully get a little bit of a taste of how, not just theater, but what it's like at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
Yeah.
We all are transplants and have worked at multiple community theaters before.
Yes.
And this one's different.
It is.
There's something different in this one, and
I agree.
It's fun to highlight, especially when they have a whole brand new season just sitting there waiting to be talked about. Let us do that, gentlemen. Let's get right into the opening show of the season.
Yes.
Blythe Spirit, the No Coward show. Linda Garsky is directing this.
Yes.
I've heard good things about that young lady.
Name rings a bell.
She's the first time director.
She's.
Linda's my Marty Scorsese.
A household name at WRCT.
Linda's directed me more than anybody else in my life. Like, other than my mother. Like, other than my mother telling me what to do. Like, nobody else has told me what to do probably Linda. More than Linda. I think that, in all seriousness, she is arguably in easily top three directors that we have in this area. I believe. Mm-hmm. And I think that her skill set, what she brings to the table is just unparalleled in many ways. With her being a actor's director and being one of those directors that not only brings out the best in you and in the prop person and her stage manager and everybody, but she also, she's not going to give you kid gloves. She's not going to just say that, oh, you're doing a great job, even if you're not. She's that great balance
she'll
of it.
She'll push
and everything.
You to be better. Yeah.
Blythe Spirit is a fun show. Yeah. People are excited about this one, too, I imagine. And not only, again, going back to the whole feelings of different shows having a different vibe throughout the season, kicking it off, having that tone, very similar to what I said with Odd Couple, I would not be surprised that a year from now we are saying that about Blythe Spirit.
Right. Absolutely. So, Blythe Spirit's coming up in our first main stage show in October, but what's crazy is that auditions are in August. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, directed by Gretchen Powers, right into Toasted, directed by director and playwright Ryan Husted, who's a 20-year-old junior over at La Crosse, wrote a show that we're producing as a world premiere this
awesome
summer.
Awesome.
And then we're going to go right up into the director's showcase, and we're going to do our first ever youth director's showcase. So we're going to have youth stuff. Auditions are, like we said, this will be a couple of days ago, auditions were. But auditions are now, and we're going to fill the months of June, July, August, and September with activities for young people. And that's pretty amazing. And most community theaters I've been associated with don't have that robust of an offering for children.
Not at
for
all.
Kids. And then while that's all going on, the main stage auditions for Blythe Spirit start, and then let the magic happen all over again. Because I see next season, if it gets on the wave that's been created this season, it's going to be just awesome.
So. A Candle in the Window by Deb Szczesinski is going to be directing. Yes. One of my other stage moms.
Yeah, mine too.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
She's everyone's mom.
She really is. She really is. Yeah, it doesn't matter if she's played your mom on stage or not. Yeah.
Well, the neat thing about A Candle in the Window, it's going to be a show that a lot of people have never seen, and it's always fun. You know, we can go to all these shows, Miracle. We can go to the Christmas show that you were in a few years ago, Wonderful Life. And we kind of know the story. A Christmas Carol, I think we kind of know the story.
Yeah.
This one's going to be fun because it's one that a lot of people aren't going to know.
Yes.
And it's going to be directed by a director making their debut as a director. Deb has never directed. She stage managed a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
But we're giving her the keys to the theater to direct A Candle in the Window. And she'll be supported by Sue Giardino, who's been a wonderful volunteer for many years. But they're both brand new in this. And what better way to get them started in these new roles than a Christmas show, where we're sure to have excellent ticket sales. People usually come to Christmas shows not even knowing what's going on. It's something to do with the family.
And
this will be wonderful. They'll get the support that way as well.
The Glass Menagerie, the Tennessee Williams classic, will be that third show in the season.
Yes.
Directed by Seth Hagerar.
Is Seth. It Hab Hegger?
Hab. Hagger. Hagger. Hagger.
Seth. One of these days you'll get it right.
Oh, hi, Seth.
Oh, hi, Seth.
We're all hoping for it.
My good man over here, Seth Habhagger.
Our director.
Yeah, yeah.
The Glass Menagerie.
Seth, I'm going to shut up. You talk.
Yeah. All right. Well, so I'm a new director too. This is going to be a new experience for me as well. I've done lots of theater, but almost always either a little bit backstage or, of course, on stage kind of stuff. That's what I've done. I was in a production of The Glass Menagerie well over a decade ago. I played Tom, the lead character. He's also the stand-in for Tennessee Williams. It's a very autobiographical play, actually, for him. Mm-hmm. And his first big hit as well. And I love being in it. The director, a very good friend of mine by the name of Jill Nadeau, and I'm going to, if you don't mind, she's also a a producer over at Wisconsin Public Radio. We can say that because they're it's public radio, right? We don't really compete with them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Big shout out to WPR.
That's right. Right. But she put on the show, and it was a multimedia show. So there was a screen up in the middle of the stage. We filmed some scenes beforehand and put them in, just projected stuff. There was other kind of film that was playing. We recorded audio that did like voiceover while we were doing it. We were also behind the screen and did silhouettes for parts of it as well. And it was so seamless and weaved together. It was just a marvelous production. But unfortunately, not many people came to it. And I was really sad because not only I thought because it's only a four-person play.
Yeah.
The four of us did an excellent job with it, not to toot my own horn or anything. But it really, we thought it was just a wonderful all-around thing. I was just very disappointed that there weren't many people that came to see it. Yeah. When I found out they were going to do Glass Menagerie for the new season, it really struck me. I was like, well, boy, you know what? I would love to be able to do this again. So I threw my name in the ring there, and they chose me. So good luck. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm really looking forward to putting this together. There's a lot of moving parts to it. But we've got such a great, all of our sound and light people are so great here. They're so experienced.
Our set construction team is awesome.
Second to none. And it's going to be a blast. It's going to be complicated a little bit, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
The older you get, and again, coming into the second half of this show, I think this comes up a little bit too now that I'm saying it out loud, but when the universe calls, you pick up the phone, that feeling you had about that first run with this show, it comes around, you have this opportunity, you can go ahead and let the phone ring, but you might as well just pick it up, man.
Yeah.
You might just pick it up because it's not going to stop ringing. Yeah. It ain't going to stop.
I had to do it.
That's really cool. Of course, as we get closer to this and the fact that you have a show like this, we're going to be talking more about this show. We're going to talk a lot about it, especially building up to it. I actually look forward to being able to give you a bit of a break at some times and also actually putting you even more under pressure with this show as I ask you like behind-the-scenes things and I try to get stuff for our listeners out there. Rumors is going to wrap up the season, the great Neil Simon classic. Christine Sullivan going to be directing this.
Yes.
That is fun. That's a cool part of this too.
Christine Sullivan just played Mrs. Savage in Curious Savage. Yeah, and she'll also be making her directorial debut.
Wow.
So that's three out of four shows. Are we not Opportunity Theater? Are we not supportive? Yeah. And
let me just say something about that real quick.
Yeah.
I can't think of a lot of companies that I can see one or two,
yeah,
three in of one season. That's almost unheard of. Yes, I mean, that's really amazing, and I love the fact that the theater's willing to do that.
One thing that doesn't always come up and doesn't get talked about all the time with theater is it can be clicky. And you can have these little, you fall into these traps, especially with community theaters when you don't have the biggest talent pool. Yeah. So you sometimes have, oh, look, it's the same four. Oh, it's the same four. There's different, different maybe parts of the season or whatever. Maybe there's one different unique name. That's how, I'm not saying Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. I'm saying all community theater out in Europe, here in the States. It's like that everywhere.
Yeah.
It is so, he's not lying. What Seth's saying there is incredibly unique. Because those are different eyes. Those are different passions and different personalities getting a chance to do these things. So,
it's about if we want to have a parallel with sports, it's about having bench strength. Yes. I mean, your team is as good as the strength you have on the bench.
Yes. Stop baseball now.
So we need more directors. We need more leaders. And giving opportunities is the only way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And supporting that lack of knowledge. And that's how everybody, it's about learning, fake it till you make it sometimes. And know that you'll have all this support around you that we continue to learn from each other.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago I got involved in theater and knew nothing about it. And, people taught me. I just surrounded myself with the right people and
Rumors is a classic, and I think anything that we talk about with Neil Simon is probably, I would say repetitive almost, because people know Rumors. People know this show, and it's part of the reason. I don't say that with any lightness. I say it with tons of respect.
Yes.
That I don't want to waste the audience or anybody's time, and Rumors is one of those shows, too, that, to me, that's your, again, I'll go back to the sports metaphor since you gave me the opening. that's your cleanup hitter. That's your number four hitter right there. That's no problem. Like, I got this. Yeah, we're gonna at least get some of these batters home, if not all of them. Mm-hmm. That's a cleanup hitter right there, and you can count on that. With something else that I see here, especially seeing all four of them in front of me on my mm-hmm. computer screen that I'm looking at, these are all four great, great shows. And definitely, especially with Rumors and Glass Menagerie, coming from two of the greatest playwrights we have known of. Mm-hmm. And I think Noel Coward's right up there, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh,
definitely. It's nothing against Don. We're friends. L. Don Schwartz. like I call him Don. You know, we know we go way back, old L. Donnie and I. we might have to cut that if I ever want to work again. We have here some really strong writing. As a director, you're going to have new actors in these. That gives so much confidence. Like, I know that even times when I struggle with that confidence and stuff, sometimes it helps with a show like Chapter 2, and I'm struggling mm-hmm. with something. Yes. Well, no matter what, I got Neil Simon's words. Like, I don't have to I don't have to come up with anything up there. He already did that for me. I got that covered. So you have these directors, these actors that'll be able to lean on that. That is also a very smart, well put together season.
Yeah, I agree. It's it wasn't hard. I mean, once we had the short list in front of us, it wasn't kind of hard to put this together and be happy about it and just unanimously voted this as the season. It was perfect.
Very cool. Very cool.
Get your season tickets. You can do that right now at wrctheater.org. Be sure to go there right this second. Just quit wasting time. Get over there right now. wrctheater.org. We'll take a break right here. We will come back and our second half of Director's Cut with Executive Director of WRCT, Tim Young, here at WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies tonight with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 59. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 85. Lows level off around 58. Tomorrow night, clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 78.
Director's Cut on your radio dial. Thank you so much for joining us. Seth and James here with you, and we're joined by our great friend, Executive Director of Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, Tim Young.
Hello, everybody.
Tim, I got a bone to pick with you.
Most people do.
Yeah, yeah. recently, Tim announced that he was going to be taking an opportunity out of town that is going to be having him leave our company.
Yeah,
that we all met at, that we all began this journey with, mm-hmm. and this news could have been broken on our show, and it would have been a real get. Would have been a real get.
It would have been a real scoop.
It would have been nice. But just a couple days, just like a week off, and you know. And I'm doing this because, like, guys, we don't want to talk about our real feelings.
right.
I'm
not crying, you are.
Yeah. I think that we're all feeling kind of melancholy about this because we want what's best for you, your family, and we're very excited about that. But at the same time, not only the personal level that the three of us have and that many in this community have found for you, Tim, but your work as executive has been fantastic. I thought that it kicked off really well with the combination of you and Martha. I thought you guys did some great work together. Yep. I think that you solo at this has taken the theater in some fun and really vital different directions. Yeah. I touched on the studio theater getting mm-hmm. a real chance to kind of get solidified.
Yeah.
And the added things that you. So Tim and I have talked, we talk at least once a month usually, and it's to go over commercials, it'll go over, you know, guess who will be on Midday Magazine or any of these kind of things. Yeah. And one of the things that Tim had said early on in getting the gig, I would say, is that you wanted something pretty much every month almost.
Yeah.
You wanted, if it wasn't a main stage production, you wanted something going on in the director's studio theater or something holiday-wise like the Halloween dance or that kind of thing. Yeah. These multiple opportunities, not only to create revenue, of course, which is incredibly important, but to give actors, to give the community, to give everybody this full-grown experience of 100%. Fun.
Yeah.
I want to start off really with a hardball question. Tim's going to be with us for another couple of months.
Yep.
But let's say it stops right here.
Yeah.
How do you feel about your run?
Oh, I'm super proud. I'm super proud of, and it's weird saying I'm super proud of myself.
It's tough to do.
It's hard to say. I tell people that ask me questions about the job, maybe some folks that might be interested in looking at working full-time at the theater. One of the things I say, a strength that you must have in this position is humility. Because the best way I found that I've been successful is to surround myself with the best people in their respective crafts, whether it be carpentry or sound or designing light instruments, you know, things I have some experience at, but I'm more of, what do you need from me? You got a key to the building. What do you need from me? I will be there. You tell me. Accessibility and humility by empowering other people to help carry the load has been huge for me. Because to come in with any other kind of a mindset, like in leadership, sometimes you think you have to be, I don't want to use the word dictator. Nobody wants a dictator. No, but nobody wants that type of culture or environment. It just doesn't, it doesn't feel good. And it's not a good formula for growth.
Don't have a long shelf life either.
No. And when you build up other people, and it's okay, you know, not putting yourself at the top of every program or not getting all the credit for, I mean, you have to work hard in this job. But I think the magic happens when more people are given credit and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. I started as an actor, and dearly departed. James and I met in May of 2019. Well, we met a couple of months before at auditions, and we had a run in May of 2019. And I moved to this community. I was with my now wife, Amy Reardon Young, who's been a school teacher. We went to Appleton West back in 1987, and she moved over here 30 years ago and has been a teacher in Nakusa ever since. She's coming up on retirement. And we're both from Appleton, Wisconsin, went to high school, like I said, together. I didn't know her very well in high school. I was kind of afraid of her boyfriend. But she... but I'm not... But I think he likes me now. He has to, almost. So I moved over here, and I was in my living room, and I was so nervous. I've worked with about 9 different community theater companies, you know, because Appleton has a lot more over there in between Fond du Lac and Green Bay and Oshkosh. It's just more population, more resources and things like that. But it's still, every time, you still are like, I'm the new person, and you have all this fear, and I'm pacing in my living room going, I really want to audition for the show. I really want to get involved. I'm not going to go. Yeah, I am. I'm not going to. Yeah, I am. But I went. And that opened the door to this conversation we're having today, a little over four years later, because I was in Dearly Departed with James, directed by Linda Garsky. Mm-hmm. And I think that show had so many household WRCT names in it.
Yeah.
And it started off, my wife still says that's her favorite show I've ever been in.
Wow.
That's cool.
Ever.
That's really cool.
The best show she's ever been to was the first show I've ever done here, Dearly Departed. You were, Royce, really? You were so good, dude. So... So anyways, the position for corporate director opened up later that year, and I was working remotely. My employer from Appleton, I put in a 2-week notice in December before moving here in early 2019, and I was going to take a leap of faith and just find a job over here. And he allowed me to take my office chair, my computer, and I was able to work from home, which I never saw coming, which made that happen for me. However, when you're an hour and a half away from in a sales job, away from your clients, it's kind of, and a lot of stuff is one-on-one, face-to-face. Yeah. I did it for 2 years, and I was able to maintain that on a part-time basis after starting with WRCT. But then when the pandemic hit and Martha resigned to go start up her theater over in Stevens Point, I knew taking on kind of all the responsibility of the theater wasn't going to allow me to continue to do that other job any justice. So I resigned, and I've been the executive director officially for about 3 years. No, not quite, in the middle of the pandemic until now, whatever that math is. But, you know, the pandemic is horrible as it was. I think we all can dig deep into that whole mess and find some silver linings. Mm-hmm.
you know, we were able to completely revamp our ticketing system. We were recipients of many state and federal fund opportunities through grants and things, and we wrote them all, and we got as much as we could. Yeah. In the theater, I mean, today, and we had programming all the way through that pandemic. We had Laughing Virtual. We had that, I don't know if you were part of Laughing, but you were part of Winter Frost, Seth.
Yep. Winter Frost, yep. And Christmas Carol that Susan directed.
Yes, Susan Egren, yeah. All virtual programs. And we ended up getting WRCT. I say we, it wasn't me. I just happened to be the executive director. Yeah. We received we were the recipients of the Shining Star Nonprofit of the Year during the pandemic. And if there's anything I'm proud about, is that. Because it's easy to shut down and say, hey, we're going to do what's safe and what's right for everyone. We're just going to close the doors. And I could sit home and collect a paycheck. No way. Because our mission and our vision, and we have funding that we receive every year. But that funding, there's some fine print. You know, that we must strive to maintain that robust artistic performing arts offering to this community year after year to receive those funds. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think that was a good enough excuse to sit home and do nothing and wait till it kind of blew by. So we were very busy. We did Creep Theater. Yeah. I think you were
a part of that too. Yeah.
Dr. Kilgore, if I remember correctly. but we did all safe, we did everything. You know, we had our disinfectant sprays and our hands. We had everything and masks and shields. But it was, you know, getting to this point now, so my wife has one more school year of teaching. And we sat down and we said, so what's our plan going to be? I can tell you right now, if I could take the theater with me on my next step, I would take everybody in the theater with me. But I don't think that's an option because I'm going to be an hour and a half from here. Yeah, I'm going. So here's the biggest thing, guys. It's not about... What did somebody say to me? You don't like us anymore? gosh, no. It couldn't be more. I'm liking everybody in this community more and more every day. I just finished up my year as president of the Noon Rotary Club in town. And talk about meeting even more community people.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
Now I'm resigning. So both of our parents are over in the Appleton area. And we're all aging, right?
Yep.
And so they're aging, we're aging, and we just had our first grandchild. From Kaylee, our daughter, who lives over in Appleton, went to Port Edwards High School.
Mazel tov, by the way.
Thank you. Graduated from UW Oshkosh in nursing, got a job as a NICU nurse.
Oh, wow.
Got married, and she works at the hospital where Amy and I were both born in Appleton, St. Elizabeth Hospital, and just had a granddaughter. Wow. Just married to Luke Schrader. So our youngest son, Steele, now is in the Navy in San Diego for 5 years. Our other daughter's living her life. Chloe's living down in Milwaukee, just recently graduated with a degree in psychology from UWM. We both have tons and tons of connections and friends here. You know what, when it gets down to it, it's about kind of being there for family. Mm-hmm. And that's what's pulling us back to Appleton. It was so hard to come up with this. And Amy's had provided health benefits and things like that for me, God bless her. But she's retiring, so I found it was right for me to go out and find a job that had those benefits for us in Appleton. I found a job. I won't get into what I'm doing because it's different than this, but this will be my fourth career. But I think anything, if you're passionate about it, and you're humble, and you have the ability to learn, and you work hard, you can do anything. Anybody out there can do anything you want to do.
I was really proud of my second question. What are you most proud of? You already answered it. It makes no sense now. I have to move on.
No.
That was great. That's great.
I got carried away. I get a little winded. Sorry about that.
No, it's perfect, bro. Where I do want to go next, though, is stepping away from the executive position for a second. Yes. As an actor, what were you most proud of in your run here? And a equally tough question.
What was I most proud of?
What show, or even if there was something about the experience that you want to touch on, but it doesn't matter. There's no wrong answer.
It's interesting. As executive director, there was a philosophy when I started, and I don't know if it was written or anything, but I thought I heard a philosophy that if you work at the theater, you really shouldn't. It's kind of a conflict of interest if you're on the stage and work behind. And I immediately challenged that whole philosophy, because if you work hard and you're passionate about being an actor, it doesn't matter if you really work at the theater or not, you're an asset to the theater on and off stage. Mm-hmm. And all of our stuff when we're acting is hobby stuff. It happens after work. Mm-hmm. So my days at the office just got longer for all the shows that was in. I just didn't go home at 5 o'clock. I stayed till 9.
If you don't mind, Tim, I think different people need to do their own, walk to their own beat.
Yeah.
And while I heard a lot of that noise when that was going on, I was bothered by it for a number of reasons. And I'll admit that I'm a little defensive with you and everything because I care about you.
Yeah.
But one thing I thought is we all get the gig. You join community theater, you're not collecting a paycheck. Now, you were with as the executive job, but if you were there for that and then you were also there as an actor, the only people that are being shortchanged are the people in your life. And if they're okay with it, who are we to say
that's
anything?
A great point.
If Amy's not giving you a hard time or being encouraging about this, what does it matter what I think? Like, not only that, but mind your own business. The man himself wants to do it. His family's backing him out. To me, you support that. I was a little bothered by that. Now, if I would feel the same way, if as executive, Tim, we could really use an actor. We need another actor out here.
Well,
I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. That'd be okay too.
That's okay
I think it's okay either way.
So what I said early on is, once it was okay, and Heaven Can Wait was the show that I was in after Baskerville. The three of us played in Baskerville. James was Sherlock Holmes. I was ensemble character. I don't know if I was one or three, but I played 7 characters, and Seth played 14. I say it every time. 14 with 14. Like 14. Yeah, but 14 different accents. I don't know what. I'm not sure what the accents were, but they were different.
I don't even know what they were.
But Barrymore. I remember Sir Henry and Barrymore. That was my favorite.
Classic.
Barrymore showed up.
We'll live 100 years.
So
very good.
Yes, there it is. Barrymore.
That's what I
wanted to hear. Barrymore. So I loved it. Basketball was so much fun, you guys. That was the hardest. It was one of the most challenging shows.
Physically challenging shows, yes.
Oh, yeah. I remember walking off with that boot, I played that Cockney or Australian, whatever I was going with that accent. I tried to do Cockney, it came out Australian. But when I came out as from that to Sir Henry was so much fun. Taking 2 steps in a completely different costume.
We all lost weight.
Oh, my gosh.
That run was
so much fun, you guys. Oh,
great.
That was so much fun.
Great show.
But what I ended up telling directors is I didn't audition for most of the shows. Well, I did, but because I worked there, I always said, sometimes based on people's calendars, I couldn't get anybody to volunteer. I was getting short on volunteers for this last Silver Foxes show for hospitality. And thank you, Habhegger, the entire family bailed me out. It was Anders, Rowan, Beth,
We were all
Seth all came.
The people,
in.
Those Habheggers.
If I could have them do hospitality for every single show, have your family run the concessions bar, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But I always tell directors, if you're short on people at auditions night number one, I'm your wild card. Mm-hmm. Careful what you because it went from Joe Pendleton and Heaven Can Wait to Sidney Brule and Death Trap to Felix. Those were the three shows in a row, and now I have to take a break.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to take a couple of years because those are huge parts.
Yeah.
But that was my biggest challenge was. When you put your name out there and say wherever you have a slot that you might need to fill, just consider me in because I'm here.
There's to do this with anybody's career, it's hard to do in a short amount of time and everything. So I don't want to sound like we're doing justice to the run that you've had here.
Yeah,
there are so many. I think other things that occur to that add up to this. I know talking about it during the pandemic with you, what it meant to you about the community. And offering to them that they could have their season ticket reimbursed and them saying to you and the company, no, keep it. How much that meant to you. I know personally what it meant. Well, I don't think that happens. Hopefully it happens 60, 70% wise. I don't think you get the 90-some percent we got without the
98
executive.
Or 99% gave their ticket as a donation.
Without you in that spot, man. Well. I think your personal touch and you reaching out to all of these people and the way that you handled that whole entire thing where there was no blueprint for, no outline for, I think you knocked it out of the park, and I think that's noteworthy. I think even little things, and it's not little, but minor things in the scheme of stuff of finding this group to come by on Sundays. And to help with attendance there, to give an opportunity with that. There's so many things like that, man. That you have a legacy built here in a short amount of time with. Mm-hmm. And I hope especially it's something, again, you touched on bringing it full circle a little bit here,
right.
Where we're so hard on ourselves. I hope you're hearing this. I hope you're getting this, that, and you take it with you in your next adventure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Everybody's been so honest and just wonderful in terms of support. You know, when you have a good relationship, or you have a really valuable relationship with another human being, and then you know that shortly down the road that's going to go away, it's really something hard to get your kind of wrap your mind around. Mm-hmm. And so I tell people that, you know, I've moved, when I worked for Aramark Corporation, a big old vending and food service and uniform company, they moved me 5 times in like 8 years or something around the Midwest.
Wow.
And every time you leave, people are like, hey, you got to come back. Hey, are you going to audition for a show? Well, I'm going to be 3-hour round trip away. And we know that rehearsals are 3 hours up until, probably not.
No.
But will we stay in contact? Yeah, we'll see each other's social media. We'll stay in contact. But the way life works is when you go into a new community, you have new neighbors, you have a new job, and there's only so many hours in a day. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, when I look back, I tell people life is a book. And we all have our chapters of that book. And some chapters you look at going, I never want to read that chapter again, because life is hard. Mm-hmm. But some chapters, this is one of those chapters that I would read over.